It is already April. I don't know what happened here, but and I'm still in Colossians 3, so I really don't know what happened here. But when I started this Colossians 3, I was going to be just like a couple weeks, and that was it, and we're still in it. So we're not quite done yet, and as we go, let me just kind of do us a little bit of a reminder. I titled it Quitting Something and Starting Something, and as we began, that was kind of that New Year's resolution conversation, you know, and most of us don't make New Year's resolutions, and those of you that did make a New Year's resolution, chances are you've already gotten rid of it. So even though we don't necessarily do that, as Christians, we should be those people that are getting rid of stuff in our life, that are quitting the things that aren't healthy, that aren't good for us, that aren't good for our walk with God. As Christians, we should be people who quit the things that are wrong in us. And as Christians, we should be those that begin, that start new habits, that change things about our life. See, we need to quit with sexual immorality, with impurity, with lust, sensuality, evil desires, greed, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, strife, jealousy, disputes, dissensions, factions, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. The list is a kind of a compilation of Colossians 3, which we're going to read in a little bit. Galatians 5 and 1 Peter 4. These are things that we're told in Scripture. The old self, we've got to get rid of it. And anytime we're given a list, the danger is that we're like, okay, if I just stick to these, then I'm good. That's not it. That's not the way God's going to be working in you. There is always going to be things in your life that God is saying, hey, this is in the way. This is causing problems. This needs to go. We should accept the fact that we are self-destructive. That oftentimes the things that we want to hang on to are the things that will ruin our opportunity to be close to in relationship with Jesus. So we as Christians should be people that are good at quitting things. And we should be good at starting things. We find in Scripture we're supposed to begin to have a new nature, to have joy, to have peace, to have patience, to have kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness, self-control and compassion and humility. These are what Paul calls the new garments that we're supposed to put on. Anybody, as I gave that list, I kind of went through it fast, right? Because I'm trying to make up some time. But anybody listen to that list and go, man, I got a big job ahead of me. Right? I mean, if you don't think you got a big job ahead of you, maybe you haven't stopped to kind of reflect on where you're at. No offense. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, compassion, humility. I begin to look at that list and I go, whoa, that is a big task. These are the new things that we have been given. When we receive Christ, He hands these things to us there. And Paul uses, and as we look in Colossians, he uses this picture of garments, new garments. Now, I don't know what your house was like when you had little kids or what it's like now with little kids, but I'll tell you one thing. In our house, clothing is an interesting adventure, okay? Every morning, our three-year-old tries to dictate what she's going to wear. Our eight-year-old usually pouts about what she's told to wear, and Max, we're just lucky to get him dressed. So it can be somewhat of a knockdown, drag-out fight some mornings. Now, let's just imagine this for a minute. God has laid out our clothes that we are supposed to put on. And where we're going, what God wants out of us is that we begin to put on the clothes that He's provided. rather than fighting the process. Because you know what? Honestly, when we're picking our clothes out for our kids, we know better, right? We've thought about what the day's going to be. Is it going to be hot or cold? Are they going to be playing outside? Are they going to be playing inside? Are they going to go to church? Are they going to... Would it be appropriate for them just to hang out in their jammies that day, right? So we think about those things. Do you think God has, I don't know, has any clue what you need in life? And the garments that he has laid out for you are exactly what you need. And yet, oftentimes, we go through this little fight with him. I don't want to wear that. I want to wear this. And what I've discovered with our kids, most of the time, we're right. Sometimes they get lucky, all right? So we've been given these clothes. So as we look at our passage today, I want to remind us that this is written to people that have received Christ, okay? These people have a relationship with Jesus. And so the way he's talking to them is specific to them. And as I look over our crowd today, listen, not everybody's there. But understand that when we talk today, this is, if you're on the inside here, you have received Christ, this is what is expected of you. And if you're looking on from the outside in, I want to encourage you. This is great news. Because it's not just this effort that is upon us. It is what God is wanting to do in us. That he wants to change us for the better. So as we read Colossians chapter 3, he says, since then, because you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. If we could, you know what? We could probably eliminate a lot of trouble, of distraction, and of heartache if we would just do what he said right there. Set your mind on things above. Set your heart on things above. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with God, with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Here we go. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life that you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. Rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Jew or Gentile, Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and he is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with one another, forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. 12 times now I've read this passage to you. 12 times we've looked at this, and I've seen this passage, this part of the passage coming for a while now. And to be honest with you, I've kind of been like, oh, I'm not sure I look forward to it. That's terrible to say, isn't it? Put over all these things, put on love. Here's why I've been like, oh man, it's coming, and I gotta have something really creative, because you guys have heard it all before, right? Love. Some of you could probably preach an amazing sermon about love without even studying. And if you think, you know, oh yeah, I could probably do that. If you just about shook your head there, come talk to me. I would love to give you an opportunity, okay? I think it's possible that we could approach this passage or this idea. Oh, he's going to preach about love. What am I going to do today? What do I got planned this week? And we begin to just kind of check out. Because it's one of those topics that get talked about a lot. God loves you. Yeah, yeah, I know. Love your neighbor. Yeah, yeah, I heard it all before. I'm supposed to love God, love my neighbor, sure, whatever. Okay? I'm convinced that we are not as good at loving God or loving our neighbor as we think we are. I think we've got this because we've heard it and we still are struggling with it. We know, but we don't necessarily do. Love God. Set your heart on things above. Love others. We focus on what He wants for other people. Instead, what we end up doing is we focus on what's right here in front of us. We get sidetracked on earthly things. We get sidetracked on what we want for ourselves. And what happens is we leave a wake of people behind us who needed us to let God's love flow into us and to flow out of us. I think sometimes we get caught up in that, well, you know, I'm just trying to get rid of my anger. Once I get rid of my anger, then I'll work on love. Right? Ah, I'm not very patient. I'll work on patience. Then I'll get to love. Without love, it's all empty. We know that we're supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We know we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. And yet, maybe this isn't you. But as I read it, this is where I'm convicted. I still struggle with being distant. I still struggle with being unaffected by others. That I tend to have this little self-protectiveness around me. See, it's really easy to give people advice. It's a lot harder to let people in. It's really easy to see what somebody else needs and throw money at it than it is to say, here's where I'm hurting. Here's where I'm failing. Because love isn't just about giving out, it's also about letting in. We know the greatest two commandments because I've already said them a couple of times. Hopefully you knew them before you came in here today. So we have no excuse. Love is supposed to be our driving force. Love is supposed to be the glue that keeps it all together. Love is supposed to be the consistent, overarching call on all of us. Look at how in our society, in any society, how much love drives people. Just as a real quick example, think of the movies that you've watched in the last year, okay? Just take a moment. most of the time, is there not some type of love story weaved in through it? Now, if you watch The Expendables, that one might not count, but other than that, there's probably some in there, okay? It is a universal theme. Doesn't matter how tough you are, doesn't matter how rejected you feel, there is still, we are drawn to love. It is at the very center of us. And it is incredibly important. So now we've been given the wardrobe. Now that you're dressed, he says, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So let's look at that statement real fast, okay? Over all of these things is what he says. Over all of these things. I'm a little surprised he didn't say, first, put on love. Okay? In fact, it's kind of the last thing he adds. Now, Paul isn't like unintentional about anything. I'm pretty sure of it, okay? I think he's pretty calculated about most everything that he ever wrote. Partly because, you know, he was listening to the Holy Spirit, and partly that was his personality. Pretty detailed. He chose his words carefully, and he ordered them carefully, very intentionally. And he gets at the end, and he says, and over all of these things, it is of the utmost importance. And the illustrations that come to my head, in case this one isn't working for you, is this. What if we used like a cooking illustration, you know, and put these ingredients together and then you mix. You know, there are some things in meals, in dishes, in baking even, that they're binding agents, right? I've discovered that. There are special ingredients. You ever notice that sometimes you can mix flavors that you would never think would work together, and when you put them all together, they work? And my parents, when we went to visit about, I don't know, it was like 8 years ago or something like that, and they had strawberries at the table, strawberries, sour cream, and brown sugar. And they were dipping the strawberries in sour cream and then dipping in the brown sugar. And I thought, that is disgusting. I got to try it. Guess what I found out? It is glorious. I mean, it is wonderful. The three of them work together. Some of you are like, oh, I'm going to have to try that, right? But individually, you go, those don't sound like they work right. With our kids, you know what? Sometimes they pick out little things out of a dish. If they would just try it all together, they'd probably discover, oh, wait a minute, these really go good together. Over all of these, put on love, because it ties it all together. If you don't have that, it doesn't work. What I want us to understand is, in Paul's illustration, when he says over all of these things put on love, what he's trying to draw the picture of is this, that last piece of clothing that is the most important piece. See, I read that and I'm like, oh yeah, like an overcoat, right? Over all of these things, put on your overcoat. Well, an overcoat just covers everything that's underneath it, and all it does is protect from the rain or whatever, but it's not nice looking. And this outer garment, this piece that he's talking about here, is that piece that is where all the detail is, where all the beauty is where the tension should be drawn. Like a woman's dress. Now, for some of us that, you know, because that just kind of excluded most of us guys, right? So maybe what we could do is use, I don't know, a construction term. How about like in the construction process, over all of it, you paint? Because paint selection is a big deal, right? And not only does paint protect it, if you were to sheetrock something and texture it, right, tape and texture it, and left it like that, what would happen? Well, it would look terrible, right? Every time somebody brushed up against it, it would rub off on them, and eventually it would probably just disintegrate. It would fall apart. So paint not only looks nice, but it also holds it all together. Now, the illustration breaks down because obviously sometimes we try to paint to fix things rather than cover it over. That doesn't work, right? Okay. All right. Listen to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3 says this. If I speak in the tongues of men of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. It is worthless. It doesn't work to my advantage. You can have spiritual gifts, but if you don't have love, it means nothing. You can have all the wisdom in the world, but if you don't have love, it is nothing. You can have faith, but if you don't have love, it's nothing. You can have gentleness, compassion, kindness, humility, patience, and if you don't have love, it's pointless. If love is so important, I mean, if love is as important as Paul is seeming to paint the picture for us, right? The question should be, how much effort are you putting towards this? So, how much effort are you putting towards love? How much effort are you putting towards over all of these things put on love? We don't have an excuse. We already have been told the greatest commandment is to love God. And we've already been told the second greatest commandment is to love our neighbor. Love is our priority. Love should be where we are giving our energies first and foremost. So he goes on, he says, over all these things, put on love. Without love, all these virtues are empty. But here's the part I want you to recognize. We're going to talk about the love part in just a little bit, but here's what I want you to see is he uses the word put on. Now, I don't know where you fall in this category, but here's where I've discovered in my life that it's difficult. I get into these modes sometimes where I end up over here where I feel like I have to earn it all. That the words I would use is this. I think I get to be a little bit like I'm getting a grade. And if I don't get an A, God's going to say, sorry, see you later. Okay? Am I accomplishing or not? And it's all on my shoulders. And I got to work to earn my salvation. Now, the minute I say those words, I know that's not right because Scripture doesn't say that. And yet somewhere within me, there's this, I feel like I have to earn it. You know, the truth is you know what? None of us deserve it, right? Even if you do as great as you can, you still don't deserve it. The only way to heaven is trusting that Jesus paid our price. So when we find ourselves over here on this side, we realize we're out of balance. Now, sometimes, though, I find myself over here as well. Okay? These are the extremes, okay? I'm too lazy to go clear to the walls, so I'm just going this way to here, all right? Sometimes I find myself over here, and I'm like, okay, God, well, you know, I don't know what to do, so you just have to do it. I'm just waiting. I'm supposed to be loving, and I don't feel like it. So you're just going to change my heart, God. Change my heart, oh God, right? The truth is that we should be somewhere in the middle. That we do have a place, that the clothes have been set out for us, that we're supposed to put them on. We have a responsibility for it. Now, hopefully it'll make sense in a little bit, but I just want you to have that picture in your head. So what is it that we're putting on? What's that going to look like, right? Well, let's continue with our 1 Corinthians passage that we read. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Does anybody hear the connection between Colossians 3 and what we just read here? The things that we're supposed to take off and the things we're supposed to put on? I'm sure it's just a coincidence that they line up, right? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. How you doing? Thank goodness we don't have to get an A, right? Okay. Put on love. This is what it looks like. See, because it binds them all together. So he goes on, binds them all together. Do you see love as the cement that holds it all together? Are you willing to admit that this may be the area that is your biggest problem? Overall, because it's the area that needs our greatest attention and effort. Because it's the area that needs our greatest attention and effort. You know, we can forgive somebody for a while. Have you ever had that experience where you're like, oh yeah, I choose to forgive that person, and then pretty soon you're like, man, that person just really hacks me off, right? Without love, it falls apart. Love binds them all together. And he goes on. He doesn't leave it there. He says it binds them all together into perfect unity. And when I read that, I was like, oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Because we want, as a church, in fact, we prayed just a little while ago, right? For the church to be united, to be one, to be in unity. And yes, that's right. If we just are loving, we'll all stand around the campfire and sing Kumbaya, right? Holding hands and just basking in that glorious picture. But that's not what it means. See, in the Greek, actually, the word perfect unity, I don't know why they chose it, probably because it would have been too many words to explain. I don't know if that's right or not, but if you go to the Greek word that they translated perfect unity, what you find is that it actually could be better translated as completeness or perfection. Put on love, which binds it all together to perfection. Now, most of us are like, well, nobody's perfect, right? Remember, God's plan is different than ours. His thoughts are different than ours. His picture and what he's steering us towards is different than we think most of the time. He is faithful to complete what he began in us. He's steering us towards completeness. Steering us towards perfect. So as Paul talks to this church and he says, over all of these things, put on this garment. that is perfect, that is the what I want of completeness. When we have love as our outer garment, when we have love as the overarching virtue, then we as the church are complete, are perfect. Paul talks about putting on these garments and over them all put on love, which brings us to completeness. Now, with that in mind, I want you to listen to two passages of Scripture, okay? The first one is found in Ephesians chapter 5. He says this, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Here it is. He's talking about love, right? He's using husband and wife as an example. "Gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless, complete, perfect." Stain or blemish, wrinkle. You know that's language about clothing, right? Probably not a coincidence that he's presenting us to himself complete, perfect, without stain or wrinkle. What is it? Love. And in case you need more convincing, let's look at Revelation 19. It says this, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear." Love, the outer garment. By the way, I see some of you like, what in the world? When the wind blows, that wall creaks, okay? It's all right. It stood this long and it's going to handle this wind, all right? You may be tired of hearing about love. You may find it easy to tune out a message about love. But as I reflect over the last 12 sermons that we've done in Colossians 3 and think over all of this, put on love, I don't think that I can emphasize enough our call, God's command to love. I'm afraid that we won't take it serious enough. I wish that there would be just like this prescription that I could say, okay, take two of these and come back next week, right? And you'll have love. That'd be great. But the truth of the matter is that's not the way things are working. In fact, the picture, me just saying, oh, you need to put on love, it feels a little bit like weak. Because I don't feel like I'm giving you like the detail you need. If I could just give you the perfect example that maybe you would catch on and be like, oh yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? I hit my head on the desk several times this week trying to come up with something. And I kept coming back to this illustration. I feel like God kept bringing me back to just something like this. All right? When you receive Christ, remember we're taught, that's who this letter's written to. When you receive Christ, God planted in you love. Okay? It's not something natural. See, we're so selfish, we're so focused on ourselves. It's not something that comes just naturally to us, the love that is described in Scripture. If we ignore it, if we don't let it grow in us, the weeds will choke it out. We have to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit because He wants to give us the things we need to do to let love grow. I think I already said it. I recognize in myself this struggle to let people in. Oh, it's easy for me to stand up here and say, man, I'm dumb. And I messed up here and everything else. But to have that close relationship with people isn't very easy. And quite frankly, Jesus had it with 12 people. Now, he's better than me. And he can handle 12. I don't think I can handle 12. But it doesn't mean I keep everybody away. And so there's this constant conversation that I resist from time to time. I don't know if I'm explaining this well or not, but there's this constant conversation that I feel like that's going back and forth, where I'm supposed to be vulnerable, where I'm supposed to be giving, where I'm supposed to reach out, where I'm supposed to share instead of step back. And too much of the time, I step back. Too much of the time, I hold off. And the truth is, the Holy Spirit is trying to get love to grow in me. Sometimes it's an apology. Sometimes it's choosing to care for somebody else over myself. Sometimes it's rather than being someone's pastor, it's being their friend. But that's me. What about you? What are the things in your life that God's wanting that love to grow? It's not normal in you. That you need to help it, that you need to participate in the process. Let me bring back, I kind of skipped a little bit here. Let me bring back some, just to remind us. The standard has been given to us. We're supposed to put on love over all this other stuff. We need to recognize when we are not meeting the standard. I'm confessing to you that I do not feel like I meet the standard. I hope that you guys can sit there and go, how am I doing at this? Not me, okay? Please don't be like, oh, I give you a C today, all right? for yourself. How are you doing with this? Because if the standard's here and we're down here, God's not saying, yeah, there you go, I want you to feel bad, right? What he's saying is will you just agree with me? You're not there. Will you, step one, will you agree with me? Repent. Admit it. And then the last tool is get a game plan. So what are you going to do? I can't tell you what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. But maybe there's somebody in your life that you've been keeping at arm's distance that you shouldn't be. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you should apologize to. Maybe it's someone in your life that you need to reach out and care for, take care of. Do you pull away or do you engage? Do you respond in judgment or do you respond with a desire to come alongside? Do you sense a need to reach out to somebody, but on the second thought, you know, that's too much work? Do you think things like, I just don't have the time. I don't have anything to offer. Well, I don't want to. Over all of these things, put on love. That's where the Holy Spirit is working in you. If you don't recognize His voice, if I make that statement, learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, and you're sitting here going, I don't really know what that means. Please talk to me. Because if we can figure that out, man, this journey changes a lot. And if you do know what it means, then acknowledge what He's saying. We have to learn to listen to His Spirit leading us. Am I letting love grow? Am I tuning into the work that He's doing in me? Am I putting love on over everything else? Or am I feeding the weeds? If it's a garden, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, sensuality, sexual impurity. The list goes on. Will you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, would You help us to recognize Your leading? Sometimes I think we can get caught up in the wrong things. Not necessarily bad things, just the wrong things. Would You help us to see that Your initial and Your overarching work is that we are putting on love, and that's what You want to do in us? I pray that You make it really clear to each one of us this morning. What's that area in our life that is hindering love for You or love for our neighbor? And we would work at letting that grow in us. Pray, Lord, that you would finish what You began in us. That You would bring it to completion. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.